Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis, Father Paul Patitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. And if you haven't been to Western Springs lately, you're missing out. It's a lovely, lovely place to live. And we have Fowles Park, one of the most beautiful parks in Auckland, as far as I'm concerned, and Western Springs Park. And we have the speedway there, and we have the zoo not too far away, the Motat. It's a lovely part of Auckland. And, of course, St. Luke's Mall. Not that I should put any... I don't get any dividends from promoting them all. Anyway, today we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to continue our discussion of last week to talk a little bit more about Archbishop Demetrius of America, the Hieron Archbishop Demetrius, who just retired and submitted his resignation, I think, on the 9th of May. And on the 11th of May, the new Archbishop of America, Elpidophoros, was selected. And also on the 11th of May, a new Metropolitan Archbishop of Australia has been selected. So we're going to speak about that today as well. So thank you for listening today, and we hope that you can stick along with us till the end of the program, and I hope it enriches you as much as it enriches me to share it with you. welcome again to our beautiful program called In the Narthex, and sometimes called In the Narthex with Father Paul. We're trying to share with you some of the news, Orthodox news, that has happened recently. On May 11th, 2 weeks ago now, the new Archbishop of Australia was selected. And for those of us who are from this part of the world, Archbishop Stylianos was a fixture in the Church of Australia. I think he served 40 years. I'm not exactly sure, but a tremendous amount of time as the Archbishop of Australia. And he had a tremendous impact on the church there. And I think we can say he did every good and holy thing that an archbishop could do to strengthen his flock. There were moments in his ministry where the church was divided, but he finished his life where the church was completely united and standing together with him and the Lenna communities and the church working together hand in hand. And we're very, very blessed that he could do that. And if you know Greeks, were very, all of us are very strong-willed and independent-minded. So it's a little bit like herding cats trying to keep Orthodox working together on the same page. But you can only do it when you offer true and authentic love. And he was able to do that. And so he didn't have to herd at all. People heard his voice like the true shepherd he was, and they came and they followed him. But now we have a new archbishop that was selected. And I want to read to you a little bit about him. This is from a website called orthodoxia.com. O-R-T-H-O-D-O-X-I-E. Some people call it orthodoxy.com. And it says, the Holy Synod unanimously voted for the Metropolitan Makarios of Christopoulos to be the new Archbishop of Australia. And here is the article. In order to provide as soon as possible for the replacement of Archbishop Stylianos, who reposed on March 26th of 2019. And by the way, if you're a Greek Orthodox Christian, you know that you can't get a more holy day to die than March 25th. And essentially, that's what the day he died, the day of the Annunciation, the day of the independence of Greece. And to serve and lead one of the largest Greek Orthodox Christian communities in the diaspora, the Synod of the Ecumenical Patriarchate of Constantinople elected Metropolitan Makarios of Christopoulos as the new Archbishop of Australia on May 9th. Archbishop Makarios Griniazakis was born in Heraklion, Crete in 1973. He studied in Crete and then at the Risarios Church School in Athens. Now, the Risarios Church School, if you're an Orthodox Christian and knows a little bit about our history, that rings a bell for you, a very loud bell, because that's the school that St. Nectarios served as a principal and as a director in the years of his life. He died, of course, in 1920, so it's some time ago. But to say that you went to the Risarios School, that's quite a wonderful thing to be able to say. You would feel the love of St. Nectarios in your blood. He also received a diploma at the University of Athens Theological School. He then pursued studies in ethics at the University of Boston, where he received a master's in theology. So that tells us that his English is superb. He also had a master in history of science from Harvard. Wow. And a master of bioethics from the Monash University. I don't know where Monash University is located. He pursued philosophy studies in Louvain, Belgium. So that means he probably speaks French. He's a polyglot. And then he received his PhD from the medical school of the University of Crete. So he's also a doctor. He passed with an excellent score. His doctoral dissertation was published under the title Cloning, Social, Ethical, and Theological Components. He received the monastic tonsure and was ordained a deacon on October 18th of 1993. He was then ordained a priest on the 25th of June in 1997. So he hasn't been a priest very, very long, but when you're a celibate, generally they try to wait a little bit to ordain you because they want to make sure you know what you're doing, are you sure you want to be a celibate? And of course he felt the calling to be a celibate, so it wasn't a difficult choice for him. And received the title of Archimandrite on April 29th, 1998. Now that's St. George Day, by the way. At the Monastery of St. George, so on the feast day of the monastery, Apanosifis, by Archbishop Timothy of Crete. On Easter Sunday of 2008, the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew raised him to the rank of Archimandrite of the Ecumenical Throne in Fanar, Istanbul. So 10 years later, he was raised to the role of Archimandrite, which is a very equivalent, you can say, to a Monsignor. Monsignor means head of the monastery, and Archimandriti means exactly the same thing, head of the monastery. What else can we say? He served as a deacon at Agios Minas Cathedral in Heraklion from 1994 to 1997, and as a parish priest at St. Nicholas Parish in Haraso from 1997 to 1999, and from the St. George community in Southbridge, Massachusetts from 1999 to 2002. So that tells us that his English, of course, is very, very good. And he was the director of the radio station of the Holy Archdiocese of Crete from 2002 to 2011. So he sounds like a very, very talented man, and what a privilege for us to have someone with his background and scope of knowledge to be serving as the Archbishop of Australia. Just to think now, his interest in bioethics and pastoral theology, amazing. In our day and age, we need people like that who can dialogue with the sciences. A lot of times we think of religious people as having kind of only a one-track mind. They only want to talk about religion, which I suppose is like me. although I do like talking about politics off the air. But anyway, this is someone who has an interest in science and in bioethics and has traveled the world. So he's going to be a very helpful and influential leader for the Church of Australia, and we hope for many, many years. So that's all I can tell you about him today. We're going to take another little break, musical interlude, and when we come back, we're going to continue with his beautiful book about Archbishop Demetrius of America, Hieron Archbishop, who just retired from service 2 weeks ago, and I want to share with you some more about that. So we'll look forward to joining you back after this music.
Nie żywotwór jaszczej, nie żywotwór jaszczej.
listening to that beautiful voice of Divna, a Romanian singer who sings often in the Byzantine style, not only the Byzantine style, and she has moved thousands and thousands of people with her tremendous musical ability. And she is the intro for our radio program here in the Narthex with Father Paul. Every episode we begin with this, hearing her sing Kyrie Eleison so beautifully with the melody from Simono Petra Monastery in Manathos. I have been to Simono Petra Monastery in Manathos, and I heard that version chanted for the first time in 1981, and it's a very, very beautiful sound and melody. Now, we are back talking about Archbishop Demetrius of America. Now, I know that if you're not from America, you say, what's the point? You know, but we do have many listeners who listen in from America, number one. Number two, I'm from America originally. And number three, I knew and I know Archbishop Demetrius personally. He's a very, very good man. And I want to spend a little time essentially expressing my gratitude to him for his life of holiness in our church. So I'm reading to you from a book called Reports from the Developing Field, Archbishop Demetrius of America, by a woman named Penelope Constantinidis, Domos Publication, D-O-M-O-S, if you'd like to look it up. And she continues, this is page 112 of her beautiful book. When my turn came to speak, I asked myself the following question. How can saintliness and a childlike spirit be realistically compatible with administrative responsibilities and power? And since being in a position of authority and power reveals a man's character, what kind of administrative power are we talking about here? And in what context? What are the dynamics and surroundings, and what tools does he use to manage human resources, office procedures, and the public relations that the life in the church demands? As far as these questions were concerned, I managed to glean the following information. First of all, in the Archbishop, we have a man who is multidimensional, sagacious, and sensitive. Therefore, when he adopts administrative measures, he doesn't simply use his knowledge of theology, but combines this with a knowledge of technology, the behavioral sciences, business administration, and market trends. Above all, he knows how to be a team player. As a member and leader of the team, he designs and directs the game so that it will be played without anxiety or pressure. At the same time, he is tactful in giving instructions, which are always worked out to the last detail. He also lets you know in a gentle way that he expects the best results. And having had him as a professor, I can tell you that is 100% true. He's a lovely, lovely man, but you know, you didn't turn in a sloppy paper to him, that's for sure. And his wisdom, carefully sheds light on the issue. Where respect and cooperation are concerned, he is amazingly skilled at inspiring these and others, not just in theory, but in practice. He naturally aims at perfection, but does this in the context of what is feasible and without keeping score. What a beautifully written book, huh? He carefully follows events as they develop in the field, making whatever difficult or painful readjustments as are necessary. But he always respects the efforts made by each individual. It goes without saying that he himself is a powerhouse of knowledge, which he makes available to others at all times. He really did have an encyclopedic knowledge of pretty much anything and everything. I remember one time I was with him in Chicago. He was speaking to a group of young adults. We'd gathered for a young adult conference there. And he says, I want to thank you for... I'm going to imitate his voice a little bit. I want to thank you for welcoming me to the Windy City. He says, and I want to tell you about the word Windy City. What does it mean? He says, in the Hebrew language, we have the word Rucha, which means spirit or wind. The word for wind and spirit are the same word in Hebrew. And so you have welcomed me not only to the Windy City, but to the city filled with God's Holy Spirit. And in that way, he had us all on the edge of our seats. We couldn't believe who was talking to us. Anyway, beautiful, beautiful man. All in all, he is an example of a hard worker who always deals with people honestly and fairly. Conflict and competitiveness dissolve with his wise words. And when feelings arise that might obstruct the work, he gently intervenes and dispels fear. The staff of the Archdiocese obviously knows that its work, if it is to be effective, must be handled in a way that is genuine and harmonious. All those who participated in researching this material came to understand that in order for a leader to have great authority and respect, he must be saintly. with a childlike spirit in Christ. This is especially true of a leader with such broad responsibilities as an archbishop. This childlike spirit is not only perfectly compatible with, but is most conducive to, carrying out our apostolic work. That is as effectively organized and as wisely planned as possible. This is precisely what we find when we take a close look at Archbishop Demetrius. Telling you how thankful I am to have this opportunity to talk about Hieron Archbishop of America, Demetrius, who just retired now 2 weeks ago, and to tell you that this program and last week's program are really an expression of my thanks to him. He's such a human being. I don't know how else to say. When I say that someone's a human being, of course, to me that has a tremendous meaning, because when we human beings cleanse ourselves of sin, and we become truly who God intended us to be, that's when we are a human being. Other than that, we really are not quite what God intended when he made the human being. But it's in that freedom from evil and freedom from darkness that we see what it means to be a human being. So we have this great Archbishop Demetrius of America, who had such a tremendous impact on the life and breath of the Orthodox Church in the United States these past 20 years. I guess I want to tell a little story, if you don't mind, just a tiny story, how, this is some funny kind of a story, really. Archbishop Demetrius was a professor for three of us Petitsises who studied at the seminary. And my brother Timothy was studying at seminary, and my father came to listen in on one of the lectures. And my father is about 10 years younger than the Archbishop, maybe 8 years younger. So, so as the Archbishop was giving a lecture, after the lecture, my father came up to the Archbishop and said, "I know you from somewhere. Where do I know you from?" So the Archbishop, of course, looked respectfully at my father. He thought, well, okay. We, was it at such and such a seminar? Was it at such and such a clergy lady? Where could we have met? No, 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 my father says, somewhere else. And then the Archbishop, it's like a light bulb went off in his head, and he said, do I know you from this catechetical school? Were you a student of mine? In Greece, in Athens, at such and such a place? And my father's jaw dropped. He says, yes. He says, I was your professor. Oh, then the tears that came to my father's eyes when he heard that wonderful thing that he was in touch with his professor from so many years ago. He was 14 years old studying, and Archbishop Demetrius perhaps 20, 21, whatever he was at that time, 22. And to meet again. And what a treasure for me as the son of my father to think that this Archbishop was the professor for my father and two of my brothers and for me. What a wonderful, rich blessing. I wish God to give more years and to teach still longer so that I can send my son to be his student. That would be a great and rich blessing. What a tremendous human being. He had a tremendous memory. He still has a tremendous memory. And what a presence. When you're in his presence, you know that you're in the presence of holiness. I'm sorry to say that. I know we think sometimes we overdo it. We Orthodox, we think everybody's holy. Well, that's not a bad thing. We should think everybody's holy because God made everybody in his image and likeness. And everybody has the capacity for holiness. Now, we are getting close to the end of our program. But I want to just thank again in this public sort of way Archbishop Demetrius of America for his loving and self-sacrificial dedication to the church, not only these 20 years, but really his entire life. He's 92 years old. He's given everything that he is and everything that, every breath, he's given it to God. And not just his spiritual life, but his intellectual life, his physical life, his emotional life. And we have a great debt of gratitude to him. Thank you so much for joining us for today's program. We're glad to have introduced to you today the new Archbishop of Australia, Makarios. And we wish him many, many years of productive ministry in the Sacred Archdiocese of Australia, and we look forward to getting to know him. As always, we want to remind you that this program is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, headquartered in Wellington, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron. Thank you for listening, and look forward to being with you again next week. Christos Anest. Χαβάλλητε εγώ πομνώζες του δελίτες πια εγώ. Γόσποδη σύλλος να ανημούδη, είναι όδο παράζιετε με πομνώσνικα σχόλοι πνεύμανε. Γόσποδη σύλλο πομιλούι νός. Χαβάλλητε εγώ βαβλάσι ευκρούπνιε, χαβάλλητε εγώ βαψαλτήριε ηγούσιε. Господи, сил с нами буди, и нового разве Тебе, помощника вспомнив не имами. Господи, сил помилуй нас. Хвалите Его в тимпане и лице, хвалите Его в струнах и ордане. Господи, сил с нами буди, и нового разве Тебе, помощника вспомнив не имами.